Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so glad you decided to join me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is co-founder and CEO of BodhiTree, an online financial analytics platform that brings the tools and insights of the Fortune 500 to the Fortune 5 million. I think that's us, the small business owner. Prior to founding BodhiTree, he was a consultant and self-proclaimed cog in the corporate machine. When he's not running his business or chasing his son around the park, you might find him writing and being featured as a business expert and entrepreneur in numerous publications like The New York Times, Mashable, TechCrunch, Inc., Entrepreneur, and many more. Now, let's hack Chris Myers. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks. More than just a sponsor, FreshBooks plays a huge role in keeping me and my business organized and profitable. And this is really, really obvious to me now, having just gone through another year end. Usually the end of the year would be an incredible headache for me and my accountant, but not this year. Now, rather than handing my accountant a giant box of papers and receipts, I simply email her my reports, journal entries, and it's not only easier, but it's way more cost-effective than paying her to sort through it herself. The best part was that it was so easy to learn how to use, and whenever I've had an issue, their support team is awesome. They're voted the number one customer support team in the world. With FreshBooks support, help is forever free, and I get to speak to a real, live human every single time. Try FreshBooks for free today and for 30 days with no obligation. Setup only takes a minute, no credit card is required, and you can cancel at any time. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section when signing up. We are back with Hack the Entrepreneur, and we have another amazing guest. Chris, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, Chris, we're going to jump straight into this. Chris, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you feel you do has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I think the most important thing that I've learned through this process is to have a strong sense of intellectual honesty in all that you do. And I know for a lot of entrepreneurs, myself included, you know, you invest everything in your venture, right? You invest your money, your relationships, your blood, sweat, and tears, everything goes into it. And as a result of that, as you go throughout your day and you're running your business, there is this natural human tendency to look for either confirming evidence of the decisions that you make, look for, you know, the feedback that you want to see, you know, that sort of thing. And that is actually one of the most damaging things that you can do as an entrepreneur, because, you know, a lot of the time, feedback, you know, decisions that you make, all of these different things, they don't always go your way. And that's okay, right? It's fine to go that things can go against you. What matters is that you're intellectually honest enough with how you're going about analyzing these things and reacting to these things to actually correct them and make the right decisions going forward. You know, so many entrepreneurs just look for what they want to see. And that's tough to try to put a different spin on it, right? Because you don't want to be negative against yourself or your business or anything like that. But trying to see your business, your decisions, you know, even the way you conduct yourself in kind of an independent, intellectually honest light, I think is the most important thing.
Yeah, I think, but it's something I think we all struggle with it just as humans even, right? I mean, You make a purchase of a new car or something and you're going to try and validate that to yourself, but you're right. Like when in a business, but it's a hard line because I know that we, or I feel that we have to, as entrepreneurs, have confidence in our decisions, right? You have to, like, especially, I mean, you're the CEO of a company, right? You have to be confident. You can't just, I'm going to say this or do this and then listen to everybody.
Right.
So how do you walk that line? Like, how do you try and find, well, as you say, that intellectual honesty? Like, is there a practice you kind of go through?
Yeah. So I think it's a really fine balancing act between the vision and the persona that you project externally and how you process things internally. So, you know, when you're in front of your team, you're in front of investors, you're in front of the marketplace, you have to project what I like to kind of call like a humble confidence, right? You need people to believe what it is you're saying. You need, most importantly, to believe truly what it is you're saying. But internally, you have to go through this kind of cathartic process, I think, reevaluating the feedback that you get, looking at that and analyzing it in the context of what you as the founder and entrepreneur know and hope for, and then using that in this kind of constant feedback loop to refine your decisions. What you want to avoid, there's two things you want to avoid. One is listening to every voice that pops up around you, because if you do that, you're going to go insane and you're never going to make a good decision. I mean, in my company, we make a lot of product decisions. We're a consumer technology product. You know, design is a great example. And there was a time when, you know, we used to open up that process to the entire team. You know, it's the idea that, okay, we get feedback from everyone, and transparency is going to lead to this kind of Darwinian, you know, super product, right? Or super experience. And the reality is that everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a thought. If you take it all in and try to put equal weighting on it, you get a mess. You get something that's terrible. And eventually you get fatigued and you just say, fine, just go with something. So you want to avoid that in all things. On the flip side, you don't want to get so locked in to a concept or a decision, you know, that you anchor on it and you plow forward regardless of, you know, the voice inside of your head screaming that this may not be right, and the feedback of people that you trust, respect, and admire. So you have to find that balance between being intellectually honest enough and smart enough to say, wow, this may not be working, or hey, I didn't think about that, and get to the right decision while still having this founded and humble confidence in the decision that you make, so that the marketplace and your team and everyone buys into the direction that you're pushing.
That's, I mean, it's really smart, especially the external and the internal. And I never actually vocalized that, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you do have to put off sort of the humble confidence, but at the same time, you have to be willing to listen. Do you find it hard when you, as the CEO, put out an idea or something you guys are going to take on or do, and then as you listen to feedback, you realize that you were completely wrong in it and you have to change direction?
Personally speaking, I don't really have a problem with being wrong, mostly because I have a lot of practice at it, right? I mean, it's just part of the name of the game. You know, the bigger problem that I see on that front is when you put an idea out and you have an end vision in mind, right? So, you know, a business, a project, or an enterprise of any kind is a really complicated, almost organic structure, right? There's a lot of different variables that come into play. There's the product side, there's the marketing side, there's how you're going to position it to your clients, there's how your clients perceive it, regardless of how you position it. And what I think happens is, particularly as your business grows, is that they naturally get somewhat siloed out, right? So the people that are driving the sale have a very clear vision and view and insight into what's going on that side. The people that are helping to market it to, you know, the end customers of that product have a very different view. And then there's the technology side and all these different things. So what I run into a lot of time, which I've worked very hard to overcome, is when you say, and maybe you introduce like a new product idea or a new, you know, direction for the business, and you get a lot of different feedback and revolts sometimes, right, from different segments of your team and even in the marketplace. And it's a function of kind of the inequality of information. And the depth of that information. So people may have a very legitimate, in their mind, concern over the direction that you're going to take or that you want to take. And, you know, you have to listen to that. You have to foster that conversation, but it really isn't totally accurate. And it's not accurate because not everyone has the same amount of data to base that decision on. And sometimes as the entrepreneur, you think you have all the information and you're still wrong, right? And that's the case. So it's this challenge that everyone is faced with of saying, okay, what are all of the variables that come into play? As those come into play, what path presents itself for the business? And then how do you do this dual process of both validating it in your own mind, right? Making sure that you're making the right decision, but then also bringing everyone else in your organization and sometimes existing customers along with you. And that becomes a matter of disseminating information correctly, right? You can't just do this total data dump on people because it's just too much to process. At the same time, you don't want to selectively provide, you know, anecdotes and different pieces of information to get to the conclusion that you think is right. That can be a real challenge of making sure that, you know, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, having the confidence, but also being open to hearing, you know, dissenting opinions, and then being able to determine, is that dissenting opinion well-informed or is it not, and moving forward in that direction. So that's what I struggle with. I don't know if that's a common thing for most entrepreneurs. I would suspect that it is.
Yeah, but your self-awareness of it, I don't think is common, at least not with the ones I've talked to, which is like your self-awareness is impressive. The way you can see what you're sort of projecting and what you're inwardly projecting. And I wonder if it seems like you really have either you've learned it. That's what I'm trying to get to, is either you've learned it or it's just kind of inherent within you as a person. You kind of have this ability to remove the really emotional side of decisions, which I think lots of us, well, people in general probably, but I'm talking entrepreneurs, we really get emotion-based, that gut feeling, and we go with it and turn on the blinders. You have a really amazing self-awareness of yourself. And is that, like, have you always had that? Or is that something that you've, again, nurtured to try and remove that emotion?
Well, I think that, you know, there's definitely an element of that has always been part of my personality. And maybe that's my upbringing or whatever. But I think with most things, personality, you know, quirks and or benefits, they have to be nurtured, right, in order to take hold. And part of that nurturing process is that I'm still relatively young. I don't feel it. But, you know, I started the company when I was 26, I think. It's a blur, but, you know, still
2011, still right?
Yeah. So relatively green on that side of things. And I've been very, very fortunate to have throughout my career, very strong mentors, you know, people who have not hesitated to say, hey, you're being a complete and utter fool right now. And here's why. And so I've actively tried to nurture that ability. You know, I'm sure there are some people that are just savants and born with, you know, the ability to make awesome decisions and take emotion out of it. And there's people that can convince someone of something regardless of what it is. I'm not one of those people naturally, but what, you know, I try to do is really work on those things and make sure that as you're leading a team and as you're creating something out of nothing, which is what entrepreneurs do and thrive upon, that, you know, you do it in the most effective and efficient manner possible. And a lot of the time that means being introspective and self-aware of your strengths and your weaknesses and, you know, constantly, you know, to your point, hacking, kind of life hacking to get better at what it is you're doing.
And okay, so this is going to segue us into working, because your introspection and you're running a large business with like a good sized team around you, and you write, you speak, you do lots of other things, and yet you still have time for introspection. Another issue with small business owners, entrepreneurs, is they oftentimes, they run themselves so ragged that they think there is no time for introspection.
Yeah.
So let's move to work. And I want to figure out how you, I mean, you sound so relaxed. It's a Tuesday afternoon. It's great. I love it. And so you must have something. So either your morning ritual or say today, the first 30 minutes of your day, what do you do from the time you wake up to kind of set yourself up to be productive, yet also relaxed enough to stay introspective so you make the right decision?
So there's what I try to do and what often happens. Those are two different things.
What happens?
Well, I have a 3-year-old little boy. He's our first and only child. And he's a, you know, a wild card variable. There's times when, you know, you're like best laid plans, but Jack decides that this morning he wants pancakes and you're going to, you know, that sort of thing.
That's what you're
doing. Your wife asks you to get him to school in the morning and you realize that not only was he supposed to bring a lunch, but you totally forgot to bill it. So there's always that variable. Now, what I try to do, I generally like to get up early. And I know that's kind of a standard thing that a lot of people do. But what I do is I get up early and I go to the Starbucks right by my house. So I'm really, really lucky that my office is like not even a half mile, probably a quarter mile from the house.
Oh, nice.
And my Starbucks is like 3 blocks away. So like I live in this area in Denver that it's just very clustered and close. And so that takes commute time out of it. So what I do is I get up in the morning and I usually go and get caffeinated, but it's kind of that third place model that Starbucks thrives on that I love, because you can get away from, you know, the chores that exist at home and the distractions that exist at home. And, you know, you're not in the office yet, but the phone's ringing, or, you know, your business partner wants to talk about something, or, you know, you have questions or emails. And I go there, and that's where I do a lot of my writing for some of the things I do there. And also just kind of get prepped for the day. I'm a list maker too. So I go through and kind of try to stay on top of where things are. And, you know, I think part of being relaxed is just accepting what you can't control. And, you know, from how clients respond to, you know, development delays to just whatever happens, you know, if I can get comfortable early in the morning with what I can control and what I can't control, and kind of a worst case scenario. So, all right, this client doesn't call me back today. What's going to happen? Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. If you get comfortable with that, then it just makes a whole day a lot easier. So that's a very valuable time to me, to be able to go through and just prep for the day. And, you know, there's always curveballs that come your way. But if you can try to have that framework in place to, you know, accept what you cannot control, then it makes it a whole lot easier to be a little more relaxed and confident in the decisions that you make throughout the day.
Nice. And at what point do you check your email for the first time?
So I'm actually pretty bad at that. I keep my phone right next to my bed because it's also my alarm clock. And I check it first thing. And honestly, you know, there's a million, you know, you look and there's like 200 emails and half of them are just junk. And so you can kind of clear that out. And then, you know, what I do then is I look at, all right, well, at least I kind of know what to think about as I'm getting ready. And then when I get to my kind of morning routine, I can think about those or sometimes respond to them or whatever. But I'm one of those guys that has my phone glued to me all the time.
Yeah, I'm like that too. And the first thing I do is I open up my email and my phone after the alarm goes off. And then I go through and I clear out, like, these are all just go. I don't need to read these ever.
Yep.
And then I don't typically read too much email on my phone once I'm still in bed, but it's true. It sets you up to, you know, kind of what to think about. But Chris, is there, say, a habit that you're trying to adapt, say one habit you're trying to adopt into your life, but you're struggling with?
That's a good question. You know, I think one of the things I'm trying to do a better job of is kind of being present in the moment when I'm not at the office. You know, look, there's the temptation for anybody who's creating something, and particularly on the cusp of, you know, seeing kind of what you anticipate and want to see come to fruition, is, you know, to always have one foot in that world and, you know, always be thinking about it. And, you know, it comes back to being, you know, with my son, sometimes he just wants to play Transformers or something. And, you know, I'm half playing with him, but also half checking an email. And so what I want to try to be able to do is be very efficient in the time that I'm on, and also be very efficient in the time that I'm off, so that I'm able to, you know, spread my attention and focus, you know, on the right things at the right time. That's easier said than done. And I think it's a journey that people just consistently have to work on and, you know, try to hold themselves accountable. But yeah, that's the toughest part, is letting things go.
Yeah, kids will make you want to really learn, I think, to be present in that moment, because the joy of just watching Jack play Transformers. I have a daughter, and so it wouldn't be Transformers, but just like the simplest thing. And it's just, you watch them, it's like, wow, this is like the whole world to them right now. Yep. It's amazing. And you just want to feel that.
Yep.
And so you're present in the moment, but do you think that it's something that maybe entrepreneurs should do even within their business? Because like you say, when you're on the cusp of realizing something as a business, it's funny how you realize, like, say, a big goal you've achieved. And the second, even maybe right before you achieve that goal, you've already set another one for yourself. And it's never just like, yes, we just did it. It's always like, now what do we do? Now what do we, like, you know what I mean? There's always a constant sort of growth mentality. Do you think it's beneficial to also be present and kind of just accept and, like, I guess, congratulate yourself for what you have achieved at this very moment?
Yeah, I think it depends. Well, I think it's important for a leader of a team to do that outwardly and make sure that your team members stay motivated. They know that, hey guys, we pulled together and we did, you know, we worked weekends and nights and it was stressful and there were unknowns and, you know, it worked out this way. And maybe it's, you know, ideal. Maybe it's, you know, even if it's not super successful, but to kind of take that moment and say, here's what we did and here's what the outcome was. And hopefully it's a positive one. You can take that time to congratulate each other and, you know, allow that success to sink in. Personally, I think it comes down, you know, on the internal side, individually with the entrepreneur, it comes down to what motivates you. You know, for me, I'm the type that, for better or worse, constantly moves the goalpost, right? Yeah. And that's a good thing in that it keeps you driven and motivated to achieve more and to push and try to grow. You know, at the same time, if you need to know how to be happy and how to be sufficient, right? If you're always looking for the next greatest thing, there's kind of a natural depression that I think can happen in entrepreneurs, and you see it all the time. So, you know, I like to move the goalpost. I like to keep the pressure on a little bit, but I think it's really important that you don't take that internal concept and push it out to your team and externalize it, because not everybody feels that way. And, you know, I think you have to celebrate your victories and you also have to take time to lick your wounds when you fail. So I think it's important. Again, it comes back to that internal, external kind of management as a leader.
That's true. Yeah. And yeah, I guess with the team, yeah, it's hard. You got to make sure that they have that externalized and then you within can keep moving your goalposts. There's lots of you external and internal going on here.
Yeah, I think it's an important concept.
I think it is. Yeah. I've just never heard it explained in such a way for almost every answer. And it's really, really well said. And I like it. And I think probably most of us do it. We're just maybe not as aware of it as you are, or else we try and not maybe nourish it as much. So this takes us to the end, which is success and the future. It's a brand new year. This can either be, let's say, within your business or even personally, because you do write and speak. So is there, like, say we're sitting here a year from now and you've had this amazing year, is there something that you want to achieve either personally or within your business in this coming year that will make you really, really happy a year from now?
Wow, that's a good question. I think personally, I want to continue to grow as an entrepreneur and as a leader so that you can stand alone in the future for different opportunities. You know, as you know, you look at, hey, yeah, you know, a brand or a company that you admire, you know, to be realistically looked at and said, well, you know, maybe I could do that. Maybe I've learned enough and grown enough that I could do that as well. So that's that process on my side. From the professional side, you know, I think this is a really important year for our company. We've had good traction and we've grown a lot. I think this is the year, based on some of the partnerships we have and the strategies that we've developed, that we become a much more well-known and much more robust, independent organization. And so there's a lot going on. There's a lot of big changes happening and a lot of new partnerships. And, you know, I think if I'm sitting here, you know, in 2016, which is crazy to say out loud, you know, I hope we look back and said, wow, we executed against what we needed to execute on. And, you know, now we have a lot of optionality for the future in terms of what we want to do.
Nice. And very quickly, can you tell me what is a brand or company that you do admire?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot out there.
There are a lot of them. I think a lot of amazing ones.
There are. And, you know, I think I'm a big fan of companies that have potential right? Not, you know, I may not agree with everything that's going on in a given organization, particularly when you can kind of peel back the curtain a little bit. You know, I think, you know, Intuit is one that is, that has a ton of potential. They don't always have their, you know, with any big company, there isn't always kind of coherence in some of the decisions that are made at different levels. But I think they're definitely one that I admire. Another one is Xero. I really love those guys and how scrappy they are and what they're trying to do. You know, beyond that, I think, you know, there's a lot of interesting kind of consumer products companies that I think are fascinating. It's list is probably too long to go into, but, you know, I think anything that people connect with and can actually view as being part of their lives and part of the day is something that very interests me, you know, very much interests me.
Yeah, me too. All right, Chris, this has been fun, and we've got to mention your business in passing throughout the conversation, but could you just sort of give everyone the elevator pitch of what it is you guys do?
Sure, yeah. So my company is Bodytree, and what we are is like a mint.com almost for small businesses. So small business owners can come to us, they can see all of their financial information in one place, but then also take it a lot further to make better decisions. So we're really the home base for entrepreneurs who don't view themselves as being quote unquote business people, right? So if you hate spreadsheets, you'll love Bodytree. That's a big part of what we do. And we're really a humanistic approach to analytics and helping people make better decisions to find success doing the things that they love to do.
Nice. Best sales pitch ever. If you hate spreadsheets, you'll love Bodytree. Because most of us as entrepreneurs are just like, I don't want to look at these things anymore. I want to go build new stuff.
Exactly.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much. I truly appreciate you taking the time to stop by. And I will link to Bodytree and everything else you've mentioned in the show notes for everyone to go check out. And I strongly suggest if you are out there building any sort of business that you should check out Bodytree. So thank you very much, Chris.
All right. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Chris Myers, that was fun. I've had a lot of interesting, smart, almost brilliant entrepreneurs at this point on my show that I've had the pleasure of talking to. And you were very unique in the calmness, the way you just seem to have it kind of grasped. It's great. And it was really refreshing. And I really, really, really appreciate you stopping by. Chris said a lot of really smart things. I have a sheet of notes beside me. But he said one thing, didn't he? Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
As you're leading a team and as you're creating something out of nothing, which is what entrepreneurs do and thrive upon, that you know you do it in the most effective and efficient manner possible. A lot of the time that means being introspective and self-aware of your strengths and your weaknesses and, you know, constantly, you know, to your point, hacking, kind of life hacking to get better at what it is you're doing.
And that's the hack. Chris, so very well said. And I mean, the way you obviously put it into the hacking that, I mean, it's something I really... That's the point to the show. That's the point to the first question. What is the one thing? And then later on, I'd like to ask, what is the one thing that you are terrible at? Because I think it's essential for us as humans, as entrepreneurs, to really have that introspection, to really understand not only our strengths, but to understand our faults just as equally, and then find out how to work through that, work around that, work over that, work however you have to do it. But once you're aware of it, then the next part's easy. It's when we don't have the self-awareness, when we get so busy trying to start and run our businesses that we don't take the time to be introspective. Chris mentioned introspection several times throughout, how projecting something to your team, projecting something to your employees, projecting even to customers maybe, the way that you have to project possibly to get the right mindset amongst the people that you want to influence, but then also to internally possibly be thinking of it as an owner, as a CEO, and as just the person in charge. That's interesting. It's a really, really interesting way of thinking and of doing it. And I think it's very essential. And I think he really, really hit home with that. And I love his self-awareness. And he's making me more aware to really take the time and do that myself And I think that that's really, really, really powerful. So Chris, thank you so much for that. Well, that's it, guys. That's another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I want to thank you so, so much. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. You can check out Chris and Bodhitree. I'll put links to him and his business there for you. You should really check it out. It's a great service, and I really, really, really strongly recommend it. Also, iTunes, HackTheEntrepreneur.com/iTunes. If you could go there on your computer, if you're on your computer now or on your phone, I would love to get a review from you and a rating. I have 235 or something. 5-star reviews. It absolutely blows me away. I love going on there, reading the reviews. If you do get a chance, and I would strongly, strongly suggest and appreciate, but if you do, drop your Twitter handle, your Twitter name on there as well. So I can go to Twitter and say hi to you, say thanks, because iTunes doesn't tell me who you are. And I would really love to just say thanks, because I do truly appreciate you taking the 2 minutes that it takes you to go leave me a review. And it does so much for the show. So this has been a lot of fun. As always, I just so, so appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us here. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.